Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast special. And today, I'm joined by a very special guest, former Town player, Romeo Zondervan. It's always a pleasure to catch up with former players, talk about their career, and a time at Portland Road. Romeo, thanks so much for joining me. How's things?
I'm fine, thanks. Nice to be on your show, on your podcast show.
That's great, my friend. Yeah, we've been trying to get this sorted for a while, but we're finally here. We've been able to sort your technology out and everything, and we're finally here. It's great to have you on. Whereabouts are we speaking to you from?
Well, I'm living in Enschede. That's about 5 minutes from the German border. And talking in football terms, FC Twente is the hometown team.
Okay, I like that. And I always like to ask how they're doing, like how you doing and stuff like that. What are you up to these days?
Well, when I stopped playing football, that's about a long time ago. My last club was here in Holland, NEC Breda, when I left Ipswich Town, and that was in 92. I left Ipswich and signed a contract for 3 years at NEC Breda. And after that, I worked for FC Twente in the youth department. I was a trainer of the under 13, under 14. I'd done it for 3 years until George Burley came and asked me if I wanted to do some scouting for him when he was the manager at Ipswich Town. And I'd done that for 3.5 years. After that, George left Ipswich and I became an agent. I'd done it for, 20 years, the agency. And I just quit the agency job now. I'm 66 now. I had a lot of traveling because the agency, and of course with George, a lot of traveling. So I'm getting to an age now where my wife says, no, well, it's enough. Let's do other things now. So that's where I'm at the moment.
That's good. And yeah, you're looking well. You're looking very well, my friend. So I thought I'd tell you that now. Anyone watching on video, he's looking well, isn't he, Romeo, which is good. I want to start, Romeo, with sort of talk about your early life, because obviously you're born in Suriname. What was that like, and obviously moving to the Netherlands?
I was about 5 years old when I moved. Of course, my parents took me to Holland. The place where I come from is Suriname, where I've been born. And my father moved to Holland. And of course, we went with him. But Holland was a colony of, not Holland, Suriname was a colony of Holland at the time. So we moved to Holland until I was about 5 to 6 years of age. Then after that, I became with ADO The Hague. That's where I started football. I came in through the youth. I went to the first team. I played 1 year at FC The Hague, and then I went to FC Twente after a year. And that's a funny story with FC Twente, because at the time when I played for FC Twente, Ipswich played AZ. in the UEFA Cup, was it? Was UEFA Cup at the time? And I think it was Charlie Woods who came to watch AZ. And funny enough, FC Twente, my team, we played against AZ. And that's how Charlie Woods put my name down for the, you know, one of the players to look at in the near future. That's what I heard from Charlie. And after that, a couple of years later, I went to West Bromwich Albion and played there for 2 years. And then Ipswich came to sign me. And that was only because they saw me at the time before they played AZ in the UEFA Cup.
Yeah, no, of course, Horse Town went on to win that, which obviously was a massive moment.
Yeah.
And quickly rewind. How did you get into football? You know, were you your dad into it, or you know, your family, you know, into football? How did you sort of what were your early memories of playing?
That's a good. How I got into football, because I was playing all the time in front of my house in The Hague. There was a wall, and I was just hitting the ball all the time, with my left foot, right foot. And there was a neighbor who saw me, and he was connected to Ado The Hague. And he said, would you like to come over to Ado The Hague to have a trial? And I'd done that, and they took me, and I went through all the ranks into the first team at Ado The Hague. So it was a neighbor where I lived who put me in contact with Ado The Hague.
I like that. That's really good. And yeah, obviously go to FC 20. And did you have a brief spell with Franz Tyson? I think Franz was there briefly.
No. I followed Franz everywhere, actually, because he went to Ipswich just before I left. Before I came to FC 20, he left to Ipswich. And Franz and Arnold, they moved from Ipswich, and I went to Ipswich. So I just followed them up.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's basically like, yeah, town, you know, we needed a Dutch player. Okay, yeah, bring Romeo in now. And, you know, we've obviously Dutch, that relationship there, we've had so many great Dutch players. We'll get on to the other Dutch players later, because obviously you helped sort of George Burley scout those players. But yeah, obviously during your time at FC 20, you win your cap for your country as well against Cyprus, if I'm right.
Yeah, you're right. There's another story here. I was a left back in Holland. I played left back, and I got my cap as a left back in the national side at the time. Then I moved to England, and of course, they knew me as a left back. Suddenly, when I moved to West Bromwich Albion, the manager played me as a midfielder. They put me into midfield. And I was in contact with the national side, of course, the Dutch national side. And they said to me, well, you're playing not in your position anymore. You're playing as a midfielder. So that's why I'm being dropped at the time as a for the national side, because I didn't play left back, because they had another good player at West Brom, Derek Statham, who played at the time for the national side, England. So I became a midfielder. And from then on, I played midfield. Strange enough.
Yeah, very much so. Did you ever get close to maybe playing for Holland again? But obviously Holland had...
No, because they had good players in midfield at the time. Of course, Franz and Arnold were playing in the national side then. And I was playing midfield as well. But they were original midfield players. And I wasn't. I became a midfield player over the years.
Very much so. And obviously, over here in England, we get like caps. If you win a cap, like what's that like in Holland? Do you get anything in particular if you win your...
No, I must say the English are a bit more advanced in this sort of things. when you look at other things like the stadium, the programs, the English clubs are more advanced in that sort of things, whereas Holland, they lag behind. They follow later on,
yeah.
But the English are far more advanced.
That's fair enough. Yeah, and obviously you come to England, sorry for West Brom, as you mentioned. Did you always have ambitions to come to England to play? Obviously, you know, playing Holland, playing top flight, you're doing well. Did you always feel like England was the place to, for you to play football?
No, because when I went to West Brom, a lot of people advised me not to go. Because at the time, it was more physical than now. Tackle was a tackle. You hit the goalies at the time, you know, from midfield, from the back, they hit the goalies and you had to chase the ball. But stadium over the years, it became more football. And I must say, when I first came to Ipswich, Bobby Ferguson, he tried to play football. Have I learned anything of all the managers at the time? Not a lot. Reason why? It was all the time, put your foot in, run harder, that sort of things. Nothing against English football, but at the time, I think the Dutch were a bit further and tactical to talk about more tactical things. But now, of course, a lot of it's all changed nowadays, the football, and the English are top at the moment in the world.
Yeah, doing good, doing good. And how would you look back at your spell at West Brom, you know, coming into England and, you know, and playing? Obviously, West Brom, you know, a good club. Obviously, Cyril Ridges was in the team. Obviously, you were linking up with an old teammate, with Martin Jol as well.
Martin Jol, yeah, my old mate, yeah. Yeah, he became a good manager. Well, he was a manager of Tottenham, Fulham in England. So he done well, yeah. And now and then we see each other, we ring each other. It's nice to talk about the old days. I think he's about 70 now, Martin. Now and then we see each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's retired now.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And yeah, obviously then you do move to Ipswich. Obviously, as you mentioned, Charlie Woods was sort of like had an eye on you. And yeah, you were at West Brom for a little while, but then Ipswich Town came calling. Was that just for you a good move to, you know, you feel like you did okay at West Brom, but you, you know, wanted to move on?
No. At the time, West Brom didn't do well. And a lot of players had to leave the club. They just wanted to fresh bodies in. And I was one of them. I think the whole team had to leave, and they left. Martin Jol went to Coventry. I wanted to go back to Holland at the time, after 2 years in England. Then Ipswich came. As I said before, with Charlie Woods, they offered me a contract. So after a lot of, you know, talking to my wife, we decided to sign for Ipswich.
That's good. And did you know much about Ipswich? I know, obviously, you mentioned that AZ Alkmaar, obviously, just won a UEFA Cup a few years prior and also had Dutch players. But did you know much about the club?
Not a lot, no. Because those days you didn't have your mobile phone. You can look up all the what's happening in abroad. You just knew, okay, this is games are being played in Holland. You hardly knew anything from other countries. But now and then, of course, when the national side were playing, of course, you heard about it. But I think not a lot of players those days in the 80s went to England. France was one of them, of course, and Arnold. I did, Martin Jol did. There was another boy who I played with, Heini Otto. I don't know if you know, remember the name, but he played for Middlesbrough. He was at FC Twente as well when I played there with Martin. But those transfers came along because of the at FC Twente there was a man, his name is Ton van Dalen, And he knew a lot of English managers at the time. And he was the one who got us to England. Heine Otto went to Middlesbrough. I went to West Brom. Martin Jol went to West Brom. He done quite a few deals, only because, and he knew the managers well at Ipswich. So that's how everything came along.
And as you mentioned, Bobby Ferguson was the manager. You know, what was he like? Obviously, just coming in after Bobby Robson went to England. So I think this is maybe his second season in charge. What was your relationship with him?
He was a character. He was a character, Bobby Ferguson. He tried to get us play football at the time. He tried to get the ball down. And of course, he worked together with at Ipswich, Robson. The manager, famous manager, who done well in the 80s before Bobby Ferguson. Bobby Robson, of course. Yeah, you can see in my, the age is catching me up now because I'm forgetting things.
Yeah, that's fine. But obviously, he was in charge. Which sort of players helped you settle? Obviously, there's a few characters in there, some big names. Who sort of helped you settle in that year?
At Ipswich?
Yeah.
You're talking about? Of course, we had Terry Butcher. Actually, funny enough, I spoke yesterday to Steve McCall. Of course, George Burley. He was, of course, the right back. Eric Gates, of course. We had a good team. When I first came, I thought, that's a great team. When you look at it on paper, you go through the names. But it was, I didn't know that the stand, the Pioneer stand, I think it was, cost him a lot of money at the time. And I didn't know that when I signed for Ipswich. But the town, suddenly all the players left. And I came to Ipswich, and all the good players left. And I thought, I stayed for another 8 years when I first came for Ipswich, but I didn't know there was big problems with the stand.
Obviously, you know, the first full season, you know, we were League Cup semi-finalists, FA Cup quarter-finalists, and that was not a bad first season. Can you remember, you know, much at all from that first season, you know, settling in Suffolk and, you know, playing with these players?
My first game was at Watford, against Watford, at home. That was my first game. And I remember we playing against Everton for the FA Cup. That's where did I score that game? My brains are going now. I don't think I scored, but I think I gave a setup to Jockey. I know him as Jockey, but don't ask me full name now.
Kevin
Wilson. That's it. You're good. You're very good. You know the names, yeah.
The thing with me is, obviously, I wasn't born when you guys played, but I've just got the knowledge because, obviously, being a town reporter and just covering the club, you've got to know the names. Maybe give me another 20 years, I'll probably forget them as well. But
the nicknames as well, Jockey Wilson, yeah. Jockey, we called him.
Maybe I should know that because, obviously, I wasn't, you know, I think my mum was only maybe like 15 herself back then, but
tells you.
I have a good character. You know, obviously Kevin was a good goal scorer as well. As you said, the team was sort of disbanding in terms of all the big hitters in terms of who got, you know, the UEFA Cup success. And that's sadly just the way of football, you know, players leave and go. And obviously, relegation is never great, but it was sort of coming, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was coming. And we got relegated, at the time. That was, for me, the choice to go or stay. And I decided to stay at Ipswich. Was it a good choice when you look, you know, now, you look backwards and I think I should have moved on at the time. But when I look at the joy I had and the club, my kids being born there, then I think, yeah, I had a great time. I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have missed it.
Whereabouts in Ipswich did you live, or in Suffolk did you live? You know, where were you first? And then I'm sure, did you move around a little bit?
No, Tundlem. Yeah. I used to live in Tundlem. Nice little village. And funny enough, I just said Enschede is like Ipswich. But now I live in a small village near Enschede. And it's like Tottenham. Yeah. It's exactly the same. Small village. Maybe more shops, you know, here in the village. But it's got a lovely square where you can sit outside. It's lovely. You can compare it to... they haven't got a square there at Tottenham. But if you look at the village, it was exactly the same sort of village.
That's nice. And obviously we're now in the second tier. I think we lost in the playoffs against Charlton. Can you remember much about that? Obviously, we had a playoff match and we lost against them in the semi-finals.
You've got a good memory.
I've made notes. Don't worry. I've done my research. That's what I've got to do.
Well, yeah. Sometimes my wife says something to me and I say, well, I can't remember that for my own child. Yeah. But that's another thing. What's going on? I lost quite a few. Well, you know, John Dean, from name. Yeah. He's got dementia.
Yeah.
He's got dementia. And a couple of years ago, well, about 5-6 years ago, I got a letter from a professor who was looking into dementia. And he sent me some... he sent me a letter, asked me some things, and I had to answer things. Of course, I could look it up myself, but I didn't. And I thought, my God, my brains are going. My brains are going. It's only because the heading we done in England, like John Dean, he was a centre forward, he was heading the ball like somebody was shooting, you know, the same, unbelievable. Yeah. So no wonder that players are getting, when they finish playing football, 60, 70 years of age, they get dementia.
Yeah, so, it's happened a lot. Yeah, it's happened a lot. You see it, you know, all the time. But yeah, so we'll go back to, you did win Player of the Year 1 year. That must have been great to sort of be named, you know, the Player of the Year.
I remember that being player of the year came as a surprise at the time, but all the big hitters were gone. You know, the Terry Butchers, you name them, they were all gone. And then they voted me as a player of the year. That was great for me. It was maybe that was one of the reasons why I might have stayed at Ipswich as well, of course, having. I've got three kids, all being born in England. And then, you know, a bit of success for myself, personal success maybe, to win the Player of the Year at the time. That was, yeah, nice.
Yeah, because obviously, you're playing week in, week out. I'm sure that, you know, that's good as a player to be, you know, be playing regularly, because obviously you don't want to move on to another club and you don't play. At least you're playing week in, week out. I know we were, you know, struggling. We weren't doing badly, but we weren't obviously getting into the promotion chasing at that stage. But for you as a player, I'm sure, you know, back then it was just nice to be playing week in, week out.
Yeah, it was at the time. We played a lot at the time. Whereas, let's put it this way. When I first came to England, to West Brom, in Holland, you only played once a week. And we only had one substitute at the time. No physio. Well, there was physio when you're injured, but I mean, no, what you call it, massage after the game. And you played, we had three cups at the time. Three cups. So you played every Saturday, Tuesday. Sometimes, if you go further in the cups, we had to play 2 days later. So you play Saturday, Tuesday, and 2 days later, Thursday, again. And if you drew again, you had to play again.
Yeah.
So I remember we had to play West Ham three times in a week at a time. And that was a lot. And after the third game, I went to the doctor. He was in the dressing room. He came to the dressing room. He was always there, by the way, but he was in the dressing room. And I said, I've got some pain here, my shoulder. He looked at me and he pushed me. And I couldn't stand on my feet. I just went backwards. And he said, get yourself home, get rest, go to bed early. Because I was so tired, no strength left in my body.
Yeah, you've not had time to recover, have you? Nowadays, you get a lot of recovery. There's still loads of games that get played in England. But, back then, you are playing just so quick. Like I said, three games in a week and not much rest at all. And, it's just part and parcel about them.
It was unbelievable those days compared to now. Now, you've got how many physios you've got for a massage. We didn't have any massage at the time after the game. Just get yourself home. That's it. I said you just mentioned only one sub. Now it's five.
It's five.
Five subs. Yeah. So, and I remember a game as well where we had to play for the FA Cup, Tottenham Hotspur away. And before that, on the Saturday, we played and I broke my toe, my middle toe. So Bobby Ferguson came to me and he said, Romeo, I would like you to play the next game. It's all right to play with injection. Would you agree? Of course, you say yes. Yeah. And I did. So I played against Tottenham with the injection. But after 45 minutes, after 30 minutes, 35 minutes, it wore out. So I was struggling to run with a broken toe because it was snapped. Yeah. The toe, the bone. But we had another player, Ian Atkins, who had another injury. And he went out before me. So there was one sub already out. So we couldn't use another sub. I had to play on the second half with my broken toe. And the injection was wearing out. And half time, the doctor came to me and gave me another injection to, so that I could play. But after 20 minutes, we were out again. So I was struggling. I played with a broken toe, running with a broken toe to the final, final signal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. You just play through the pain. You got to do it. And if you didn't do it, now obviously there's so many subs and when the subs already been used, you can't play anymore. So, obviously John Duncan comes in. So Bobby Ferguson goes, as you mentioned earlier, John Duncan comes in, I named you captain. That must've been an honor.
It was an honor. I never expected this. Funny enough, he made me captain. Was I ready for it, for the captain? Was I the type to be a captain? When I look back, I think maybe not. Because when you're captain, you must stand up against... a captain must be a leader, must be feel things, be the right-hand man on the pitch of the manager. It was an honor to be asked. But if I was ready for it, that's another question. No, I don't think so. Of course, it was an honor at the time to be asked by John Duncan. I don't think I was ready for it at the time. I think other players, English players, might have been more ready for that position, to be a captain. At the time,
do you think John just felt like you've been at the club for a while, and you just maybe just felt like you were the man for him? And what was John Duncan like? I know I heard he was a hard man, but obviously he was a very good football man. Obviously done a lot of great things in football.
John Duncan. When I look back at the managers like Bobby Ferguson, Bobby Ferguson was an. Let me go through the. Bobby Ferguson was a man when things went wrong. And those days, they could nail you. The managers would really have a go at you those days. Whereas nowadays, they wouldn't dare to do so. What they've done in the past, how they've done it as a manager. Nowadays, you get a sack. But that was those days. But Bobby Ferguson was one of these managers who could really have a go at you. Man to man, he would really telch off and really had a go at you. Whereas John Duncan wasn't that type. He would tell you off, but not as like Bobby Ferguson. John Lyle was more a manager nowadays. More distance. He was to me, he was more a bit distance. He hardly said anything to me at the time. I remember. Of course, you speak to him. But when John Lyle came, I was a bit older. I was, well, how old was I? 31 when he came, something like that. And he was okay. He was okay. I liked John. I liked him.
Yeah, I think the football, obviously, town fans weren't really, right, they didn't really like his football, and obviously we weren't doing that great. But it's good to hear from a different point of view as well on John Duncan from yourself as a player. And obviously, yeah, named you captain. Obviously, he obviously gets the sack, and obviously John Lyle comes in. Obviously, John Lyle obviously done a lot of stuff at West Ham and everything like that. Was that hard for you as a player, like seeing another manager come in? You sort of got to get used to another manager again.
You see, when he came in at the time, he was what he'd done. Every player, and he wanted to make us hard to close down, and he succeeded the way he wanted to play. Because after that, we won games after games after games when he came. So, for the players' point of view, and of course the crowd, he was one of the, he done well for us, and he got us promotion to the Premier League at the time. But he was, how to say this in English? I can't find a word for the English. But he done well. He done well, and he got his promotion. And the way he done it was the players to really put us under pressure in training. I remember once when there was a circle, like a circle, we had to be there, standing in there, and he was throwing the ball up. And the one who headed the ball could come out the circle. But some of the players, it was like it was a battle. It was really, get that header, get the header, trying to get the ball. Can you imagine 20 players trying to head one ball and he was throwing it? And then after you had the ball, you could come out. So it was really, and I know when the players I played with at the time will see this and hear this, they think, oh yeah, I remember that. But that was typical of John Lau. He would put pressure on us in training, I'm talking about. But he succeeded because we played some good football. Under John Lau, we played some great stuff. Direct football, we could, into midfield, everything was top. And I'm still blame it because of this. We had to put our foot in, we had to win our headers, and he done very well with us.
Yeah, really good, really good. And yeah, got promotion. Which players were you close to in that sort of era there? Because obviously there's a few players coming through the youth ranks as well. Obviously, you had Simon Milton, Jason Dalziel, Chris Cuomo as well coming through. Which other players were you close to?
I'm thinking now. Well, I was I could go get along with all the players, actually, with the most players. Of course, you're close to Jason Dozell, of course, Chris Kiyomiya at the time. I was older. I would give them advice at the time. And of course, I had players which I didn't get along with. David Linegan, for example, he was a player which we didn't feel each other off the pitch as well. You know, we didn't get along with each other. But that's happened. You can't get along with all the players, you know, 11 or 18 players. So, but the most players I get along with.
You know, we get promoted, you know, win the second division title. You played a good amount of games that year. Did you always felt you were likely gonna leave, you know, after that season?
No, well, that was my old trainer, who was at NEC Breda. He became manager there. When I left ADO The Hague when I was 18, 19 to go to FC Twente, he was my trainer. Then he became trainer of NEC Breda when I was 33. Ipswich offered me a contract, but my wife, she wanted to go back to Holland after 10 years in England. She thought that if I signed this contract with Ipswich, another 2 years or a year, it was a year he gave me, John Lau, and the other club, NEC Breda, gave me a three-year contract. So there was a difference there. But I never spoke to John Lau about, you know, to give me another two-year contract. So I went to, I made a decision only because of my wife. She wants to go back because she's afraid that I would stay in England after my football career. I would never go back to Holland. That's what she thought. So she put some pressure on me to go back to Holland. And I decided to go back to Holland because she wanted to go back to Holland. So I decided to go back to Holland.
Yeah, you know.
But I was homesick to England.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I played for NEC Breda.
Yeah, I can imagine. Have you got memories of that those celebrations though? When you know, obviously it's your Town 1 promotion. I'm sure that's always nice as a player to have a, you know, promotion on your CV and a league title.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. One of the last games I played was against. Was it? Oh, we got promotion with Oxford. That was Oxford.
Yeah.
That was Oxford. I can't think of the last game I played for Ipswich.
Brighton, the Brighton 3-1.
We won 3-1 at home, eh?
Yeah, home. Yeah, against Brighton. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember. One of the goals I played Jason Dozell through, and he scored. I remember that, but vaguely. But that's such a long time ago.
Yeah, and yeah, obviously, yeah, Ipswich Town are a Premier League team, and yeah, you go back to Holland. I've got a few questions, and a few little memories from listeners, and I want to sort of let you know about them. This is from John Watson, who is a friend of the show. And he said, it's not a question, but I'd rather a thank you. Romeo was such a gent when I was a mascot away at Roker Park, which was Sunderland's. He really looked after me. And despite the 4-0 thrashing, it made my day. Please thank you again. So a message to John, even though you lost 4-0, it was, you know, obviously a defeat for you.
We got beat 4-0.
Yeah, so obviously not an ideal result. But him as a mascot, you know, a young lad, just, you know, obviously
he was
captain leading him out.
That's nice of him. Nice.
Yeah. You got a message for John?
Well, John, I can't remember, you know, the day, but nice of you to mention this to yourself, Roscoe. It's always nice to hear these sort of things. And I think he might still be an Ipswich Town supporter.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he goes to all the games still. Yeah.
Yeah, well... I wish Ipswich all the best to, you know, that they hopefully, Ipswich, John, will stay in the Premiership. I keep my fingers crossed for Ipswich, my old team.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll like that. I got another message here from Matt Pooley, who said, interviewed him once, so interviewed you once upon a time for a school project in the Centre Spot restaurant, then got a lift back to school from Jason Dazelle. So there we go.
Centre Spot, that's an old name.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the Centre Spot, yeah, just behind on the one of the, what do you call the stands of Ipswich, the Centre Spot, yeah. And I believe that Russell Osman's father was running it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Russell Osman's father ran it for a year, I think, or 2 years at the time.
I like it. I like it. This is from Tom. He said, "Please thank Romeo for the quid for Bob a job a week when I washed his car." So yeah, apparently I think he must have washed your car back in the day, and you gave him, you know, a quid a week.
Oh, and what's his name?
This is Tom. It's just Tom. I can see.
Oh, Tom.
So, yeah.
No, I can't remember that.
Yeah.
But as I said, I forgot a lot of things.
But that's fine. That's fine. But yeah, some great memories been sent in. And yes, just someone's actually named themselves on the van on the social media. Said, "Wonderful player, one of my favourites. We're always better with Dutch players in the squad," which is very much true. We've always had, you know, successful times with our Dutch players. So yeah, great. And someone, there's actually a picture I posted of you in were those shorts uncomfortable? Because they were very like short shorts, weren't they, back in the day?
Yeah, sometimes back in the days, same in Holland, I look at some pictures and I think, oh my God, look at me here, or other players. Yeah, that's right.
Like that. Just overall spell then, just at Ipswich Town, obviously you made over 300 games for the club. That must be, for you, you must look back with that with fondness.
Is it over 300? Because I'm not sure how many games I played for Ipswich in total.
So in all competitions, 325 games, 19 goals. So would you wanted more goals there, or are you happy with that?
I wasn't the goal scorer.
Yeah.
I wasn't a midfield player because I was a sitter in midfield.
Yeah.
But I played everywhere. For Ipswich, when I first came, when there was injury on left back, I would play left back. Was an injury right back, I would play right back. Was an injury left winger, I would play left winger or right winger. I never played up front. Mind you, we always played 4-4-2, so I was one of the players who, in 4-4-2, you're sort of left and right winger going forward. But the goals I scored, most of them were of the penalty spot.
Yes.
Because John Duncan told me that I was the person who should take the penalties. So I scored quite a few goals through the penalty spot.
Yeah, because obviously John Walk was the man to take penalties back in the day for us. And then, we needed a penalty taker. Did you ever practice them in training, penalties? Or did you just go, you know what, I'm just going to just hit it as hard as I can and hope it goes in?
No. I didn't hit it as hard as I always placed them left or right of the keeper, of course. But it's the moment. It is the moment where I thought the keeper would, I could, you know, where I could place them. And a bit high up where the keeper would normally never, even if he dives, he would never get them. If there's a pace is right.
Yeah.
So that was my sort of tactic of taking penalties.
Yeah, very much.
And I missed one penalty. One, I remember.
Yeah.
I think it was against Stoke.
Yeah, I think it could have been actually. I ain't got that note down, but I believe you.
Yeah,
I'm sure people will be listening. Okay. I'm sure people will be listening. Go, yeah, you did actually, Romeo, and that ruined a bet for me. You know, back in the day there, but obviously, a club legend, Romeo. You know, that amount of games. You know, great. You know, servant for the club, and you know, it's great to hear your memories, your time at the club. And did you have much plans when you retired? Obviously, you went back to Holland. You played, you know, for a few years. Did you have much plans what you were going to do when you sort of retired from football?
Well, I not really. After my playing career, George. No. First, I went, of course, to FC Twente. as a youth trainer, done it for 3.5 years. Then George came, as I told you before, I think, offered me a job as a European scout. I've done that for 3.5 years. One of the players I brought to Ipswich, I played with him actually, there was Fabian Wilmes. I played with Fabian at NEC Breda, my last club. And that's why it came about that I took him to Ipswich. And I think he played for 10 years at Ipswich, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a testimonial, obviously played in the Premier League for us as well. I've actually had him on the podcast, Fabian. So obviously he mentioned you on that about in terms of him getting scouted and stuff like that. Did you also scout Gus Ullenbeek and obviously Martin Reusser as well?
Yeah. I remember Gus Ullenbeek. Yeah, he went to Fulham after Ipswich. Gus. Yeah, I remember. I scouted and Martijn Reusser. We took him from the Ajax reserves at the time. I think he played a couple of times in the first team. That's where we Ipswich. And that's where I saw him play, and they signed him at Ipswich at the time.
And obviously, he became a cult hero because, of course, he scored that goal at Wembley to you know get us promoted. You know, winning against Barnsley 4-2, and we've always had good connection with Dutch players. We're still looking for that next Dutch player to join us at one stage. Just sort of,
there are not any Dutch players anymore at Ipswich at the moment, eh?
No, there isn't. No, so if you know anybody, Romeo, let us know. If there's any other Dutch players you think Town should sign, let us know.
Well, there are quite a few young boys still about. Yeah. I'll have a look. I'll have a look, Roscoe.
That's good. But did you enjoy this, you know, scouting for George? And obviously, you must have gone abroad, gone everywhere. You know, what's that like, just watching football and trying to find the next sort of superstar?
Well, it was a time where I travelled a lot. When I was in Spain, then Ipswich would ring me and say, Romeo, in Norway, there was a game. This player is being offered up through an agent. Then I would go from Spain to Norway. So I traveled a lot at the time. Was it nice? It was nice, but not for my wife. I was always on the go, on traveling.
Yeah. But I'm sure a good experience. Yeah. And obviously you found some really good players for Ipswich Town, which is good. Talking about travelling, fully qualified pilot, is that right?
Yeah. Well, in the time when I was playing for Ipswich, I decided to... I don't know how it came about that I took lessons. But I took lessons, yeah, and I got my private pilot license, yeah.
Did you have a what kind of interest?
And strange enough, there is a, like Ipswich, they had a plane, a strip, where, yeah. Have they still got, no, is there not anymore?
No, it's not there anymore, no.
Anymore, no, that's, but here at Ipswich, at SC20, of Enschede, there's a strip here. So I went up not that long ago, you know, just have a feeling again.
That's good. Did you always enjoy that sort of thing? Did you always want to get into sort of flying? Was that something always like a hobby of yours when you were sort of playing as well?
No, not really. Yeah. I'm thinking why I did it actually at the time. I don't know, but I enjoy it. Love it to go up. But I just said, because I haven't done it for years, and then suddenly I thought, well, actually, my sons, they gave it to me. They said, well, Dad, can you, we've got some nice present for you. Here, would you like to go up? I said, yeah, I'll have a go. And since then, I'm picking it up again.
That's good.
After years doing it, not doing it, then I went up and I liked and enjoyed it again. And that's not that long ago.
No.
So, I'm going up again.
That's good to hear. And obviously, there's a story to you, obviously, you're flying. of you getting arrested at British Customs. We were set up, you know, off air. We're gonna potentially talk about it, but you're comfortable to talk about it. So yeah, obviously it was a friend of yours who was holding something interesting, and tell us the story.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story because it's such an embarrassing moment for myself. There was a player, Ulrik Wilson, his name was, or is. He came to Ipswich on trial. I think he stayed half a year. And he, it was in the newspaper, so your newspaper, that he was coming over on trial. So a player at Ipswich asked me, Romeo, can you ask him to get some videos? I said, no problem, because here in Holland, it's, you know, you can get it from everywhere. And in England, it wasn't. I didn't know that. So I rang Ulrik and said, can you get some videos? And so for one of the lads. And he said, yeah, no problem. What he done, he just went to the shop last moment and he just put it in his suitcase. The first thing when the customs open it, they will see videos. So that was Ipswich, he flew into Ipswich. And he got stopped, of course. They opened his suitcase, and they saw this video. And he didn't know either, it wasn't allowed. And I didn't know either. So he went out and he said, well, this is for Romeo Zondervan. And I was there with my little kid. He was about, six. And I got arrested for that. But funny, strange enough, I went home not thinking about, no. They took me to Felixstowe. I had to pay a fine. I think £450 those days, something like that. And I went home. But the next day, I was living in Tottenham. I went to the train sessions, and just before I left, I just left actually, the newspaper, The Sun, I don't know how they found out, they were standing with my wife who had a little kid, just been born at the time, at the door, knocking on the door, the newspapers, and asking my wife, do you always look at these pictures and together and all this? So my wife slammed the door, and I went, of course, training session, but I had my name on my car, Romeo Zondervan. So I went to after training, I went into town. Strange, funny enough, how do you want to call it? Not far from where they were, The Sun, they saw my name and they waited for me. So the next, and they asked me questions, and I said, get off and all this. And next day, it was big in the center page, it's The Sun saying, Romeo Zondervan porno something, and I had nothing to do with it, but I took the blame because I didn't want to tell the newspapers anything who asked me. So I took the full blame for everything. And we had to play Man United the next game. And there was, you know, chanting all this, Romeo porno king and all this. And I didn't hit the ball. The manager took me off because I was so down. Yeah. I didn't play well at all. But I never ever mentioned the name of the player who asked me for this video. And up till now, I never mentioned his name. So I took the fully blame for everything.
Yeah, and did it affect you at all in terms of traveling going forward, or was it sort of like all sorted in the end?
No, everything was okay. You mean at the customs? No, I had to pay a fine. Everything was after that okay, but it was more or less supporters of Ipswich. When there was something going on, then it was the Pawn of King Romeo.
Yeah.
Whereas I had nothing to do with it. But I took it. I took it, and I never mentioned anybody's name. I took it. I took full blame for it. But such is life.
Yeah. In a way, it's something to laugh about now, isn't it? It's starting to like.
It's not back on. We can laugh about it now, but at the time, could bury me. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. But obviously it happened, and sort of a segue away from that now. But yeah, thanks so much for sharing that story, and I'm sure listeners was interested to hear about that, because a lot of people going, "Oh, you're gonna ask him, Ross?" And I was like, "We'll see if Romeo's comfortable saying it." And you know, I'm really happy, to be honest.
It's 45 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, long time ago now. But there it is, out in the open. You said about your sons, born in Ipswich, you know, they must be, you know, old now, or getting, you know, have they got kids? Are you a granddad now?
Yeah, I'm granddad. Yeah. My eldest son is 39. He's got one kid, a son. A daughter. And my middle son is named Dominic, and he's got a daughter as well. My younger son hasn't got any kids yet. Yes, I'm a granddad.
Do they have good memories of Ipswich as well? Do you guys speak as much as you can about memories of Ipswich Town and stuff like that?
My younger son can't remember not a lot of Ipswich. Vaguely, he knows a couple of things. But my eldest son, yes, his English is perfect because he went to school. In Ipswich, and he's working for Adidas now. He's done well. He's one of the directors at Adidas, so his English is perfect, you know, to speak to all over the world. Actually, he's talking English, of course, when he speaks to whatever another country. Spain, it's always English, of course, they speak.
I'll have to speak to your son, because I'm a big Adidas wearer. I'm actually wearing an Adidas jumper right now.
Oh, you're wearing Adidas? Okay.
Yeah, I am. There we go. I'll have to speak to him to sort me out some Adidas gear, maybe. You know, we'll have to link up and see. So, yeah, let him know. You just interviewed, you know, just done an interview with Roscoe, who loves Adidas, and we'll have to sort something out. But that's good. And obviously, you do come over when you can, do you, to obviously come and watch it?
Well, of course, there's a reunion every year, but I, over the years, I've only been to two reunions. But I would love to come more often to Ipswich.
But I'm sure you're now settled. You know, you and your wife. You know what you've been up to since you sort of retired. Are you just you've been traveling. You've been doing some stuff.
My wife, she works, so she's in a couple of months she stops working, and so she what we're gonna do? You know what she loves to do? She wants me to get a camper. You call it camper as well in English, and travel, and just. The first thing we want to do is come to England, because we only live in Ipswich and Birmingham. So we want to travel round England, the places we, you know, where we haven't seen. So that's what the first thing we're going to do, make a big round trip to through England and stay there for 2-3 months. That's what she loves to do.
Yeah.
And I follow her.
Yeah, you got to, you know, wife knows best and all that. And obviously, like for yourself, you would have obviously gone to so many places in England, but you would have just gone and play football. You know, been all to these stadiums and these towns and these cities, but you know, would only really see it for a little moment because you're playing football there.
Yeah. We hardly, of course, Birmingham is such when I first came to West Brom, there was a lot of Pakistani there. a lot of Pakistani people, you know, from West Brom. There was one road goes right into the center. Lots of shops there from Pakistani. I found it so strange that it was there. Can you imagine how it is now after 40 years?
Very much so.
It's all changed nowadays.
Obviously, Ipswich has changed a lot as well. You know, from when you were probably, you know, watching and being a player and stuff like that. Well, Romeo, I don't want to take much more time up from you. Thank you so much for joining me. Any other business, any other messages you want to share to the town fans?
Yeah, I said it before. I'm still following Ipswich, of course. It's one of my teams I really enjoyed playing for. I wish and hope that Ipswich will stay in the Premier League. They've got a good manager, by the way. I don't follow the Ipswich anymore like I used to do, but I always look at the results. And you know, the players at Ipswich at the moment, sometimes I look it up, but not as anymore as in the past. But I hope they will stay up in the Premiership.
Definitely. And one final thing, actually. Obviously, you are known for your moustache. Obviously, it's not there anymore. When did you make that decision to get rid of it?
Yeah, you see, I'm bald now. The bald came when I was in Morocco on holiday with my wife and the kids. I had to go to the hairdressers. And no, you don't call it hairdressers. What do you call it? Hairdresser, yes. So my hair was a bit long. So I decided to go to a hairdresser in Morocco, but it was a really hot day. And I went to the hairdressers and I said to my wife, everything off. I'll take everything off. So I took, that's what I've done. I took everything off. And I still got hair.
Yeah.
But it's not that I'm bald. No, I'm talking 20 years ago. I took it all off. Yeah. And I kept it like that. I liked it and I kept it like that. Yeah. That's why. But my moustache went the same time. Everything off, moustache as well.
Yeah, it would have been an interesting look, moustache and just bald. I don't know. Don't know if you could have pulled it off. Maybe, I don't know, Romeo's on the van.
I think you could have pulled it off. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a beard. You know, so obviously the modern
well,
trend
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nowadays, people like you. How old are you, Oscar?
28.
You're 28, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a youngster.
Yeah, so obviously this is the trend, having a beard. Although if I shade this off, I'll just look ridiculous. I'll just look like a 12-year-old.
That's what you think.
That's what I think. No. Maybe if I got rid of it. Although my missus may, you know, she may leave me if she look at, oh, don't know, get that beard back, Ross. But yeah. But no, it's just, yeah, it's a fashion thing as well for me, just having a beard. Everyone knows me, Roscoe with a beard. So yeah, but it's been a pleasure.
I had one myself, so I know the feeling, Roscoe.
Yeah, very much so. Well, Romeo, thank you so much, and keep in touch, and thanks so much for joining me.
No problem, and nice speaking to you.